Let's go to the word of the Lord. Today I want to speak about origin of our righteousness. And I will go deeply today, and I will ask for your patience, for your attention, because I can talk Russian very clearly, but it will not help you at all, probably. So let's go in English. I want to ask to open Galatians chapter 3. This is today Brita Hadasha portion. And it's a very powerful place of scriptures. Very powerful. And I know how many wrong teachings about this place of scripture. I don't want to go very deep because we will study it in our foundation classes. We will go through these places together. But I want to touch a few very important parts of the scriptures. I want to read Galatians chapter 3 from verse 5. So then, the one who gives you the Ruach and works miracles among you, does he do it because of your deeds based on Torah, or your hearing based on trust and faithfulness? Verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Know then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. The scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, proclaimed the good news to Abraham in advance, saying, all the nations shall be blessed through you. So then, the faithful are blessed along with Abraham, the faithful one. And verse 10. For all who rely on the deeds of Torah are under a curse. For the scriptures say, cursed is everyone who does not keep doing everything written in the scroll of the Torah. It is clear that no one is set right before God by Torah. For the righteous shall live by emunah, by faith. Amen. Before I will go in this place, I want briefly mention about letters to Galatians, so we can have a bigger picture. First of all, this is not a simple message. And sometimes people are confused about some of the big issues, big subjects of this message of Galatians. They misread it and read it wrong. And especially people who influenced by replacement theology, who teach that the Lord has finished with Israel, and replace the Torah, people who like to use scriptures for their benefits. So this is done to speak about replacement of the Torah, and we will read it a little bit further. I remember a very funny story, small funny story about people in heaven who stood in the line to Apostle Paul's office to ask questions about his writing. Can you imagine this picture? Just simple office, you know, wide door or something. So one entered into this door, and after some time, he came out with joy and told everyone, now I understand what Paul meant when he wrote this passage. Now I understand. So second came in and came with the joy. Third, so eventually one guy came in, and after 2 hours, Paul ran through the door and said, can you imagine? I told him, I'm reading this in the scriptures, and he told me, read carefully how it's written here. Sometimes we need to see the picture about what Paul meant, and we need to be careful and use the wise approach to understand something. We need to look different translations sometimes, to look different places of scriptures. We don't need to jump to wrong conclusions. We need to dig deeper. Amen. Sometimes we have assurance in something, but sometimes we understand it differently, and it's happened with us. So we need to be careful about it. So I want to say very straight, this letter does not replace the Torah, but help us to understand what Torah teach us. It's given us the right perspective on the Torah and its teaching. It doesn't replacement for Torah. Be careful with it. Second, we need to understand this is not a pleasant letter to Galatians. It's not a pleasant letter. If you read carefully, it's strong, it's harsh, it's powerful. Mainly, this is the letter of corrections to them and also to us today, because we had the same situations in our lives. Galatians went into the wrong directions in their beliefs. Some people who came from Judea, if you will read carefully, you will see it, introduced them to their own gospel. What was happened there? They accept Yeshua, they accept faith, they accept life from him, but later somebody from Judea came to them and they brought their own gospel. I will read it here. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I am amazed that you are so quickly turning away from the one who called you by the grace of Messiah to a different good news, gospel. Not that there is another, but only some who are confusing you and want to distort the good news of Messiah. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, do you remember Mormons? It's very obvious, angel from heaven. Should announce any good news to you other than what we proclaim to you, let that person be cursed. I want to ask you, does it clear now or not here? We are quiet. I don't know why. Maybe because of my language. No, thank you so much. At least this part I understand. One good news, only one. And Paul's so serious about it, Rabbi Shaul. He's putting foundation and he fighting for truth because it's very serious. He starts to speak to them very serious things. And we will speak about those topics in our foundational classes, but I want to mention what's happened there very briefly. First of all, congregation in Galatia refused the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua by replacing this with self-righteousness. I like how Rabbi Shaul put it in the words of Scriptures. Galatians chapter 3, today's Brit HaChadasha portions, verse 1, first verse. He said, very nice and pleasant words. It's like honey to their souls. He told them, oh, my dear foolish Galatians. I don't see dear here, I see foolish. Oh, foolish Galatians. I don't know what it means, foolish in English, it's good for me. I don't know, probably you know better than me, so I'm free to say it. Who cast a spell on you? Before your eyes, Yeshua, the Messiah, was clearly portrayed as crucified. So something happened there. Something stood between them and the crucified Yeshua, in the middle between them. Something wrong. They began to put their trust in their good deeds, keeping the commandments and traditions as the only way of salvation and only way to righteousness. They began to justify themselves through it. They began to find justification. They began to find righteousness through the keeping of something. And they put Yeshua somewhere else. Something stood between them. And this is very serious, very serious. Some people like to call it legalism. I like to term self-righteousness. Let's say together self-righteousness. So I'm not alone. I'm with you. Self-righteousness. Because all Torah and scriptures point us to something very important. And Paul, Rabbi Shaul, trying to explain them something. He compared their understanding of Torah with the understanding of Torah from his side. He tried to explain them something so important. Because Torah revealed in two great revelation things to us. First, we are sinners. And I want to congratulate you, you also. You also sinner. Maybe you're a good sinner or bad sinner or pleasant or nice sinner, but you're a sinner from the mother wound. This is our reality. And if you read Bible scriptures carefully, you know why. With no hope to be righteous in the Lord's eyes. No hope. With no exception. So I want to tell Mazel Tov one more time. You're a sinner. You're a sinner. You have great problem in your life. And this is what Torah speaks. When I read Torah carefully, if you are, you know, have clear mind and read the Torah, you can see commandments plus sacrifice. Sacrifice. You can do everything you want to do without sacrifice. You're zero. You're not righteous because of commandments. Torah put in your imposition when you understand you can't be righteous because you can't keep all the commandments. And this is why all Torah, all prophets, all scripture speaks about sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. Moshe, he need to bring the sacrifice for himself. Aaron, one of the most important part of his ministry is to sacrifice for himself. Why? If just keeping the commandments is enough. It's not enough. It's only part. It's very important to understand. Isaiah 64, and let's say together, no exceptions. No exceptions. And I tell you already, you can be nice sinner or bad sinner. It does not mean anything. You're the sinner. For all of us is Isaiah 64, verse 5. Also very nice place of scripture. For all of us have become like one who is unclean. And all our righteousness is like a filthy garment. Can you imagine garments? This, I mean, we can look nice. We can wear nice clothes. But can you imagine how, what's happening inside of us? And the Lord, He look in our hearts. Can you imagine? You just, I know you're a perfect person. I know, I'm sure. All your thoughts only about good for others. You're never angry. You're never, you know, envy. You're perfect. I'm glad it's true. Probably I should be retired because it's true. The Lord sees your heart. Everything you've done, everything you say, everything you think, He knows your real, how you looks like. And this is the problem of the people. This is was the problem of Israelites. Commandments can't change their hearts. This is why they are written on stones. And this is why we have promise for commandments to be written in our hearts. Thinking about it for 1 minute. And all our righteousness like a filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf. Can you imagine the leaf under the wind? Every righteous, everything. And our iniquities carry us away like the wind. This is first thought from the Torah, statement from the Torah. Second, we need redemption through the blood of the sacrifice, the righteousness of the Lord through the promised Messiah. All the scriptures speaking about it. If you remember the first sin in the world, Adam and Eve, and the first words the Lord spoke to the Adam, He says, about promised Messiah. I will give you descendants, and He will fight the serpent. He will crush his head. It was the promised Messiah from the beginning of the scriptures. Abraham, before Moses, or Moses before Abraham? Who first? Moses or Abraham? If you read carefully. Abraham, yes, Abraham. He accepted by faith, and he was called righteous. Why? By faith. In whom? Trust in the Lord, in His redemption. And I personally believe from the scriptures that Moses had encounter with the Lord. Do you remember these people who came to him and he bowed down and says, my Lord, Yeshua came to him. Yeshua had fellowship with him because of Abraham's faith. And he called Abraham, you're my friend. You are my friend. Something wrong with the understanding of Galatians. They went in different direction. This is the heart of the Torah. And Galatians were trapped in their wrong understanding and stopped follow the truth. And I want to present Paul's or Shaul's view of the work of Messiah, and very fast, very quickly. In Russian, I can do it in 10 minutes. In English, probably 20. First of all, before we will go there, I want to do a small test. And I need your help here. And just make notes for yourself. First question. Do you have confidence in your heart, in your mind, that if you will die today, you will be with the Lord? Not just right. I'm joking. This is third question. Some people saying this is not impossible to have confidence. Who knows? Maybe yes, maybe no. They will decide. You know, somebody will decide for us. Or 1 John chapter 5. I will read very carefully, very powerful place of scriptures. Verse 13. I wrote these things to you who believed in the name of Son of God, so you may know that you have eternal life. Let's say have. And I want to tell you, John writes letter not to the deaf people, not to the dead people, to the living people. Because he said, I write it to you. I don't write it for somebody who already passed away. It's for you. You can know already. You can be sure today that you have eternal life. Because of what? Your perfect life? Take it away from you. Because of Ben Elohim, Son of God. Let's go deeply. Second question I want to ask you. What do you need to do to go to heaven? I'm sorry for my simple English. Simple. I can put in Russian much longer and much trickier. But be straight. What do you need to do to be in the heaven? Do good works. Yes, of course. Keep some of the commandments. Because why some? Because we don't have temple. We can't accomplish all the commandments. Even if we want to accomplish everything. Maybe because we are good people. We can smile in the mirror and says, I'm so good. It can't be, you know, wrong. I should be in heaven with the Lord. No. No. Let's look in the scriptures. First of all, more than anything, the Lord wants to bless us. Bless his children. Because he loves us so much. And the greatest gift he has for us, the eternal life with the Lord. This is his gift for every one of us. For the people in the streets. He loves us so much. And greatest gift, this is life. And Romans chapter 6, he speaks here, the Paul, or Shaul, he says here, for sin's payment is death, but God's gracious gift is eternal life in Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. Gift. Let's say together, gift. You can't work hard enough to gain this gift. You can't work. You can try. But you will fall short, I promise you. Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith. How saved? Through faith. Again. And this is not from yourselves. What does it mean? Not from yourselves. You can't pay. You can't do anything to gain it. This is from him. Because this is the gift. It is the gift of God. It's verse 8, Ephesians chapter 2. It is not based on deeds, so that no one may boast. Boast? Okay, it's a new word for me, boast. It is not based on deeds, so you can't pay this. It's from the Lord. It's pure gift from him. Can you imagine yourself staying in front of the heaven gates and beat yourself in your chest and saying, Lord, I worked more than enough. I'm worthy to go there. Paint a picture in your mind. Put yourself. What do you think? It's a miserable picture. Do you agree with me? I'm worthy, Lord. I'm doing so hard. I'm trying everything I can. Now open the gates. I want to enter. Or can you imagine somebody wants to bless you with some pressure gift from all his heart? He's just, you know, he's trying to do something good for you. And he's giving to you, present it to you, and you tell him, so how much do I need to pay you back? This is the gift. Accept it with all your heart. This is the gift from the Lord because we are the sinners. Already I'm repeating myself. Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 3 verse 10, as it written, there is no one righteous, no, not no one. Come on, how about me? Maybe somebody, yes, but no one. I want to stop here. Can you tell to somebody who clear to you, not you? Don't be offended, please. Or you can be offended for some short time. But it's better to know truth. You are not righteous. Nobody, no one. No one, it means, I don't know English, but Russian, no one. Without no exceptions, everyone is sinners. Amen. What is the sin? Very simple. Sin in Hebrew, it's het. It means miss the target. Do mistake, to miss the target. I don't want to go because we'll cover it later, but very important. Everything in your life, what is not pleasant to the Lord, violation of God's commandments, called the sin in the scriptures. And our deeds, our thoughts, everything, our words, this is called the sin if we're doing wrong. So let's suppose you have 10,000 thoughts every day and you're perfect in your mind, in your life, and you have only 1% of bad thoughts. Can you imagine this picture? 10,000 every day and 1% bad, everything else, 99% you're just wonderful, perfect. You know, everything behind imagination. You just blessed everyone, thinking only good about everyone, you know. Blessing the old president, new president, and coming president. So you're perfect. In 27 years, you will commit more than 1 million sins. Let's take you're doing only one sin per day. And by the way, how old are you? Okay. You can multiply. I want you to understand, the Lord is perfect and nothing unclean will not stand before His eyes. Nothing. He's perfect. He don't have lower standards. His high standards. And also scriptures call him fire. He's fire, consuming fire. So he wants, it's very serious. When I heard when people are speaking about prophecy or just, you know, giving this kind of strange prophecies, I was with the Lord and I walked with him and he, you know, joked with me and I joked with him. Zero understanding about the Lord. He is consuming fire. He's righteous. He's holy. It's so hard, so difficult to stand in His presence. Every time when I see the people who stands in the presence of the Lord in scriptures, they were fearful. Fearful. Crying to the Lord for mercy. And this was happened in Galatians, Saul. They switched the ideas. Because Torah taught us that we are sinners and we need mercy and we can't accomplish anything by ourselves. And when we read this, Abraham, he was trembling before the Lord. Prophets, they were trembling before the Lord. They were not standing upon their good things, good deeds, accomplishments, or something. They stood upon mercy, completely, only mercy. Be merciful. Read Isaiah chapter 6, you will see prophet Isaiah called from his childhood to the ministry to the Lord. So powerful. So powerful. Or I want to give you a small example. When you're cooking and you are putting like 100 eggs together, you know, a lot of people will come to you. And one egg is, rotten. Will you give this wonderful meal to your family with one rotten egg? This is the same our sins. One sin can spoil everything in our life. So you can't save yourself. Do you agree with me? If not, I want to repeat one more time. Read the scriptures. Think about Galatians. Think about the problem. It's serious. But the Lord is merciful and want to bless us and save us from death, from our sins. And He's full of love, and at the same time He's just, and He should punish the sinners, sin. It's His nature to punish the sin. This is the great problem. This is the heart of the scriptures. We came to the, you know, most precious, golden part of the scriptures, heart of everything. Problem, we are the sinners, and He is the Lord. He is holy. How to get through this problem? And only way to the Lord, it's our Messiah, Yeshua. He became the solution for our problems. He became the answer for us. This is so simple and so powerful. The name of Yeshua has the power to save nations from the sin. And it's so simple that many people trying to do something, Yeshua plus something. And they can't even notice that they are begin to be something else. Not believers anymore. Believers, something else plus Yeshua. And Yeshua will not share anything with you. Anything. He will not allow anything to be between you and Him. He don't like it. It was the problem of Galatians. They took the Torah and they changed the meaning of the Torah. Because somebody from Judea told them, you can't be saved until you will be perfect Hebrew. No, you can. And it's possible. And you should. And it's a gift for you. He died for us and paid the price for our sins and was resurrected for our benefit. And He offers us a place with Him in heaven as a free gift to receive this gift by faith. And people think if it's free, it's useless. No, it's precious. It's free because you can't gain it. This is why it's free. From the Lord to you, from His righteousness to your life. John 19, verse 30. When Yeshua tasted the sour wine, He said, it is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up His spirit. And here in the language, in the Greek, in John, it's used Greek language, it means tetelestai, it means paid off. Completed. It's done. This term used when it was you purchase something, you pay the price, and now it's yours. This is what happened in Golgotha. Yeshua paid the price, and He told, His last words was, I bought them. Completed. They're mine. Can you imagine? They're mine. I purchased them for my price. Now they're mine. He purchased us for Himself and gave us an ability to receive these precious gifts by faith or refuse it. It's our up to us. He gave us this opportunity, possibility. This saving truth revealed to us in the Torah and Scriptures to put all trust and hope in our salvation into Yeshua. All hope, all trust in our salvation, in our righteousness, in our life only unto Yeshua. Only unto Him. Nobody else. Nothing else. Only Him. This is very, very clear. This is why His name, our Savior. Let's say together, Yeshua. Do you remember what it means for us? So many people, so wise, they even forget what it means, Yeshua. For them, Yeshua is just, you know, good man, prophet, you know, good scholar. He knows so many things. No. The angel told to Mary, you will call Him Emmanuel, the Lord with you. His name Yeshua, the Lord saves. It's His nature, His power. He took you from the sins and He saved you by His mercy because He loves you so much. I like the place of scripture here, Acts chapter 16, and we almost done. We have only 5 pages, not more. Acts chapter 16, very powerful place of scriptures. This is about the man who is the jailer. And he's not Jew. He's not, you know, he don't know Torah. I don't read here anything. You remember the story about other, what is, was his name? Cornelius. He was righteous. He did a lot of good stuff. And some people read it and say, okay, you see, he should be saved because he's righteous. This man, he's not righteous. He is not Jew. He don't know anything. I don't see it here in scriptures. It's only fantasy. Somebody think about it. But he is jailer. He is doing his job. He's punished people. Who knows how? And something happened there. Do you remember what's happened? The shaking, earthquake. And he ran to their place, to their jail. The jailer called for light and rushed in. So can you imagine his eyes? He was fearful because in the morning, no prisoners, no head. Pain for the sin is death, you know. This is, he knows. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. After he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Zero understanding about anything. Zero righteousness, zero anything. They said, "Put your trust in the Lord Yeshua, and you will be saved, you and your household." Wow. He does not start explaining from circumcision or from something else. How many sacrifices, how many prayers you should say, put your trust in Yeshua, and you will be saved, and all your household. Powerful. And how about our part to follow the scriptures? Of course we need to follow the scriptures. But what I want to tell you here, it's not just relax, don't follow anything, no. But you're following the scriptures because you're righteous, not opposite. You're trusting the Lord because you are Son of God. And this is your nature. You remember Yeshua was asked, what is the 2 main commandments in the scriptures? What? It's hard to understand for me, but I can accomplish together. Love the Lord and love your neighbors. All the law and prophets hang upon these 2 commandments. So powerful, so strong. So powerful, so strong. This is our obligation for the Lord. We should follow Him. We should do the righteous thing. We should keep His scriptures because He is our Savior. He made us holy. He made us righteous. I just want to end with a few examples. It's a great freedom in the good news of salvation. Opposite from the condemnation of self-righteousness and legalism. It's opposite. You're free to be free. You're saved to be saved. You have mercy to be merciful. You have righteousness to be righteous. It's not opposite. Would you prefer to put your own trust in the perfect sacrifice of Yeshua, who is perfect in all his ways? He was born without sin and lived all his life in the complete obedience to the Father because he is the Lord. He is Son of God. He came without earthly father because Holy Spirit gave seeds into Miriam. It's powerful. Or you would like to put your trust in your ability to keep some of the commandments and do not sin ever anymore. You need to decide what is your trust. These 2 ways are going in different directions. You can sit, as Rabbi David liked to say, I will not repeat him. It's hard to sit in 2 chairs or to be in 2 different weddings in the same times. It's very hard because it's going in opposite directions. This is why it's so important, and all the scriptures warns us about this issue. And this is why Rabbi Shaul so straight about it with Galatians, because he began to solve some problems. He began to see that something wrong happened with their hearts. They begin to add something to their faith. They begin to, you know, twist their faith. Yeshua was somebody else for them. So I want to end, because it's our time, with a small call to you. Very simple call. I don't say anything new for you. Probably you know it's already. I don't want to say anything new. It's not my, you know, my goal today. I just want to repeat something simple, but very important, because it touched my heart. I remember how I came to the Lord. Not because of somebody told me to come. Because of His love, His mercy, His forgiveness, His presence in my life. He's merciful. So I want to ask you, get right with the Lord. Check your foundation, your beliefs. Let Yeshua be in front of you. He is the Lord and Savior for you. He is the most important. Only Him, nobody else. And I want to end with a prayer. And if you need to accept the Lord, if you need to get restored with the Lord, pray with me. Ask the Lord for forgiveness. Simple faith. Faith of the child. Saving faith. This has changed all everything. So let's pray. Our Father, our Lord, thank you for your mercy in Yeshua Messiah. Thank you for your grace and for salvation for my soul. Thank you for your righteousness in me. Lord, thank you for the way of salvation through the Messiah Yeshua. Lord, ask, please forgive me for all my sins. Please change my life. Cleanse me for all my iniquities, Lord. Help me to follow you, Lord. Help me to love you, Lord. I invite you, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach, into my heart. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. And thank you for joy of salvation in this place. And Lord, I ask for everyone who is here today and who will hear this message, Lord. I ask, please, touch our hearts. Help us to see the clear vision of heart of everything, to know Yeshua, to have fellowship with Him, to follow Him, to see our righteousness and salvation through Him. Thank you. We love you, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. So let's stand. We will pray with our own benediction, blessings. And after prayer, I want to remind you have a children. Please pick them up. Don't forget them. They're precious. They're precious. They love you, by the way. So let's pray together. Yiverechech Adonai veishmerecha Yaher Adonai panavelecha vichunecha Issa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha shalom. Thank you for your face upon us, Lord. Thank you for your presence with us, Lord. Keep us with your presence. Bless us with your face. B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, and please take your children. They're